Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
And we are back hard at work already, the brand new year well underway, and it's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com, and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. And I got to tell you, Brad, lots and lots of places that we have been headed around town here, and obviously they're more of a global company as well, but Captivate is in a whole bunch of places that we actually frequent as well. So it's kind of cool to see that, too. So glad to have them as a sponsor here on The Advertising Show. We have a gentleman who is out of Muncie, Indiana today. Muncie, Indiana. What's in Muncie? Well, Kelsey Timmerman is. He's a freelance writer who focuses on globalization, travel, and outdoors. And the question might be posed, why in Muncie? Well, it's a good place for her. We'll find out more about that when we talk to him. He's been in Romania, Bangladesh, Kosovo, and he was a scuba instructor in Key West, Florida as well. What a well-rounded life that is. Kelsey has written a book called Where Are You Wearing? And we'll talk to Kelsey here in just a moment. Hey, Brad, Mary Bennett is a name that is no stranger to both you and I. Mary's been a part of The Advertising Show on a couple of occasions. She's actually joined us at some of the functions that were, you know, the Addy Awards and things like that, where she's been a part of the festivities there. But Mary has a new, basically she's the former executive vice president of marketing for the Radio Advertising Bureau. She's also frequently appeared on Radio Inc.'s list of the most influential women in radio. And now, boys and girls, Mary has joined a company called Loyal Ears. Very interesting, too. Loyal Ears became the North American distributor for YouNews, or Your News, I should say. It's a zip code-based news aggregation platform technology. Can, according to Loyal Ears, offer radio clusters, the ability to replace newspapers in any given market and target ads and editions by zip code. I can only assume that this is probably something to do with streaming or something like that, but it might be fun to get her on the show here early on in 2009 and find out what she's doing at Loyal Ears. Kind of cool, huh?
Yeah, so, I'll have to Google that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary's always, we've always referred to her as one of the best-looking babes. Can we say that on radio?
No, you really can't, and especially, now can't? She's going to sue us, but that's okay, so it's no big deal.
She's an attractive lady.
Oh, she's a sweet lady, and she is from the Detroit area, as well as I was a hanger-outer of the Detroit area, too, so that's kind of a nice connection. But Mary Bennett, congratulations on the new post, Mary. I know RIB is definitely going to miss her. What do you have there?
Well, you know, notebooks were the big thing not so many years ago. Netbooks, you know, those lightweight, low-cost, energy-efficient portable laptops that are designed for web browsing and little else are apparently all the rage this year, especially as the Consumer Electronics Show is happening in Las Vegas this past week. The big question, Ray, is whether consumer demand will be high enough for manufacturers. According to Forrester Research, about 1 in 5 consumers who plan to purchase a new computer in the next year say they will spend less due to current economic conditions. And another research firm, IDC, estimates around 21 million netbooks will ship this year compared to 11 million last year. Apparently, these netbooks were a real hot item this past Christmas, and apparently these contraptions, as we these netbooks feature such things as not only calling, but navigation, music, and media delivery, and they could also therefore cut into markets such as smartphones, GPS devices, and even digital music players, which I think is the big concern. And I don't know if you've looked into this or heard anyone that has one, but my goodness, Ray, they start as low as $200, so they're not only a little more efficient, but in terms of what they do, but they're cheaper and becoming harder to define, I suppose.
And I can remember when $200 bought you a calculator that added, subtracted, divided, and multiplied.
I thought for sure you were going to say when $200 bought you a really nice 8-track tape and various you know, 8-tracks along with
it. It was about the same era, basically. We're talking about the 70s for those of you who are very young. All right? Okay. Hey, we've got to get to this here. Hold on just a moment. It is brand new for 2009. Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, PR, to manage a crisis. Well, that's one element of that. Let's listen to what that's all about.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Today we're going to talk about how PR can help you manage a crisis, large or small. Sometimes the publicist's job isn't to find the news, it's to lessen the effect of news that puts the client on the defensive. Shaping public opinion through the media requires immediate and prompt, flawless professionalism, cooperation, and coordination. Never think that the media will go away if you just ignore the calls. In fact, you'll lose a very important opportunity to counter negative reports, present your point of view, and have control over your message. If you ignore the press, they'll write about that too, and as well as whatever's gotten them onto you in the first place. Oftentimes, if the situation has legal ramifications, an attorney is necessary to help vet the answers that can be given to the media. And a publicist should work very closely with an involved lawyer to make absolutely certain that the PR efforts don't inadvertently exacerbate the situation. At the first hint of a problem or issue, consult with your PR professional. You'll need help filtering through the media request for comment, and a publicist is your first line of defense to determine the reporter's angle. If your publicist is involved early enough, you may even be able to preempt the news of a crisis and get your version of events out first. One thing to remember that is crucial in a crisis is to tell it all, tell it fast, and tell the truth. It is always best when a mistake has been made to admit it up front and begin doing whatever possible to reestablish credibility and confidence. Practice the tough questions, rehearse, and over-prepare. Your publicist is there to help you handle crisis communications, and you need to utilize their expertise so that you don't make some of the most common mistakes, such as oversharing, lack of specificity, dodging the issue, assuming that you can speak to anyone off the record, and other mistakes that are easy to make when you're under pressure. Every crisis eventually passes, and a PR firm can help you manage the process, convey your message, and help minimize that damage.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you much, Shamin Abbas, on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to join in conversation with Kelsey Timmerman, author of a brand new book, and the book is called Where Are You Wearing? A lot of different things that you don't know about Kelsey, but you will after the show. We promise that. We've got Kelsey in our virtual green room now, and we'll bring him up here in just a moment. Hope you'll be able to stick around at theadvertisingshow.com, being powered by Shipple.com. That's S-C-H-I-P-U-L. It's an incredible marketing machine for web. It is uses a platform called Tendency, and it's incredibly efficient. It kind of kickstarts your web marketing. So check it out at Shipple.com. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Back in a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Stronger than dirt.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe, and a very special guest out of Muncie, Indiana, Kelsey Timmerman. As we said before, a freelance writer focuses on globalization, travel, and the outdoors. You know what I like about Kelsey's bio, Brad? It's short, concise, and it's entertaining. He spent the night in Castle Dracula in Romania, gone undercover as an underwear buyer in Bangladesh, played PlayStation in Kosovo, taught an island village to play baseball in Honduras, and in another life worked as a scuba instructor in Key West. He lives in Muncie, Indiana. You can check out. He's got a blog, whereamiwearing.com. The book is called Where Am I Wearing? A Global Tour of the Countries, Factories, and People That Make Our Clothes. And, Kelsey, it is so good to have you here on The Advertising Show, and Happy New Year to you. And also, we want to pass along just this past week, congratulations, a father for the first time, a beautiful baby girl, to you and your wife, and hope they're doing well.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Kelsey, welcome to The Advertising Show. I was curious, as Ray and I were mentioning last segment, I wouldn't call your book exactly a how-to book. It's written more like an adventure novel. I'm curious how you decided upon the format.
Well, I've really come at it from more of a travel writing perspective. I used to write a travel column, so really that was kind of the natural way for me to address this. I never set out to write a book about the garment industry or about that was related to business, but it kind of became an adventure book that had a little bit of business along with it.
Yeah, did you have an objective when you started to research the book, or was it more exploratory as you went through the process?
Well, it kind of started as an excuse to travel. I never needed much of one. So you look at your clothes and you see all these labels on them, and they say made here, made there, made wherever. And there were some places I didn't know where they were made. And I kind of thought that, a guy should know where his clothes come from. So, and I also had my favorite t-shirt. It had tattoo from Fantasy Island, tattoo.
Sure.
To plane. And right. On that t-shirt, it said, had tattoos, face on it. And it said, follow me to my tropical paradise. So this t-shirt kind of started it all. I was kind of like, well, tattoo, where is this tropical paradise? I looked at the tag, it said, made in Honduras. And off I went to Honduras. Most of the time in Honduras, I, went scuba diving, hiked through the jungle, did stuff that was not related to anything that having to do with clothes. And then one of the last things I did before leaving Honduras, I decided, well, hey, I'm here because of the t-shirt. I'll go to the factory. So when I was at the factory, of course, you just show up at the factory and say, hey, can I go on a tour? It doesn't really happen, So I waited outside for the workers to be let out and tried to chat with some of them. They were obviously very reluctant to talk. Finally, one fella did, and at that moment, I really couldn't bring myself to ask the questions I wanted to ask him about, what his life was like, what his job was like. I just couldn't do it. In a way, I think I was kind of scared what I would find out, but I didn't have the guts to do it then. I went back to came back to the United States, and it just kind of ate at me. I wasn't able to ask Emil Carr, that was his name, more questions. And then I set out on what became a worldwide quest, much more focused on garments.
Well, we're going to talk about some of your escapades and what it was like to go undercover and get after some of this information. And in the promotional material that supports your book, we're quoted as saying that it attempts to bridge the gap between the impersonal economic forces and the people most affected by them, which immediately drew a curiosity on my part. Do you think consumers really care if their clothes that they're wearing were made in Cambodia, Mexico, or here in the U.S.?
Well, I think that more and more consumers don't care where they come from because they don't have much of a choice. 97% of our clothes are made elsewhere other than the United States. So, you know, we don't have much of a choice anymore, so people have started to care less. I think people still care about the conditions and how those workers are treated. So there are quite a lot of people that care about that. In fact, a recent study showed that a third of Americans would pay more to purchase clothes made under good working conditions. So I think that the people really care about the people who make our clothes, and I think they would care more if they knew about them. So that's why I'm trying to connect them in this book.
You know, don't get me wrong. I don't disagree. I mean, your book really puts a face, a person behind the foreign country or community where these goods are manufactured, and I think that it does a great job in that. I guess when I immediately read that, I thought about, you know, if we all were sensitive about the treatment of others, I guess we'd all be vegetarians because of all that's been out about the mistreatment of, you know, animals and so forth, and that has been
or vegans more to that regard as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge for those for that group, and yet, as you point out, Kelsey, with 90 some odd percent of the clothing here in the U.S. originating from somewhere else, that really, I don't know, is the public going to go to the kind of effort that I know you do now when it comes to purchasing and purchasing their items? And can it be made easier? Is there a website to go to where you can locate particular brands that are making an effort to purchase from countries that are treating their labor properly, I suppose?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think your food comparison is a very good one. In the book, I mentioned that, you know, there's all sorts of different types of consumers of food. You know, you have your vegans, your vegetarians, your raw foodists, your people who just will eat anything, people that maybe just eat fat food. And I think that there needs to be more options for people that want to make decisions like that for the consumption of other things, such as clothes. Some people might want to just buy clothes made in the United States. And believe it or not, it is still possible. There's a clothing company based in L.A. called American Apparel. It's the country's largest, and they still produce a lot of clothes. You know, some people might not want to buy products made in China because of the human rights issues. And so, really, I think that it's not an easy thing because there's not a lot of choice out there at this moment. You know, I can go to my grocery, and if I want to buy organic foods, there's a whole aisle. Even in Muncie, Indiana, there's an aisle for organic foods. You know, and until I think we can walk into a big box store and have the option of, you know, purchasing this that was made under decent working conditions. You know, even if we want to pay more for it, great. You know, and one thing in the book, I try not to be preachy. I don't want to shove down anyone's throat what kind of consumer they should be. I think it's a personal decision. So there are different things you can do on your own. You can do some initial research of different brands, and you can look on their website to see if they have a director of corporate social responsibility, if they self-audit their factories, if they have their factories audited, if they have a third-party audit their factories. That's something you can do as well. See if they have some kind of statement about, you know, social rights of the workers who produce their clothes. That's another thing. There's a handy little book I came upon called The Better World Shopping Guide, and it labels, it grades different brands for all sorts of different things, from gasoline to clothing to soft drinks, and it gives them a grade of A through F depending on. Depending on how they are environmentally and socially. And so that's a quick and easy tool that can kind of help point you in the right direction. But, you know, overall, I don't think that there's enough out there for us to make the informed decisions that we would like to make.
That's the book, whereamiwearing.com is the website, too, if you want to check out Kelsey's blog. Kelsey Timmerman, our special guest on the advertising show, Ray Shones and Brad Forsythe. There is more. Yep, there is more. Stay with us.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy.
Our very special guest of The Advertising Show today is Kelsey Timmerman. WhereAmIWearing.com, a global tour of the countries, the factories, and the people that make our clothes. You know, Kelsey, you brought up an interesting point earlier with respect to some people won't buy a particular product made in a particular country, as this relates not to clothes but to automobiles. The folks from Pearl Harbor era, the December the 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, my aunt and uncle in particular would not buy Honda, would not buy the Japanese product, even though Honda has become a rather American product these days. But I thought that was rather interesting that you brought that up as well. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Kelsey, mention the name of the website again that you just mentioned towards the end of the segment where everyone can go to see a variety of products listed.
Oh, it's actually a book.
I think
they have
a website
associated with it too. The book is The Better World Shopping Guide. It's written by Ellis Jones, or compiled by Ellis Jones. I believe there's a website associated with the book, too. I'm not quite sure what that is. But it's a handy little guide that fits in your back pocket. And for those who don't want to, you know, travel to Bangladesh because their underwear were made there to find out what the industry was like there, this is kind of an easy way to point you in the right direction.
Hmm. Well, if they don't have a website, they need one. I think it's a great idea.
Unfortunately, Brad is checking his underwear right now. Brad says, China, put your pants back on, please. Thank
is
you.
There any irony behind Kelsey being in Muncie and underwear? Is Muncie still a brand of underwear?
I don't know that.
I've never heard of that.
No. Well, maybe I'm losing it here. It wouldn't be a surprise. Which American company, Kelsey, or companies are the greatest offenders when it comes to turning a blind eye to where and whom the goods that they sell are manufactured?
Well, you know, I think a lot of the people that people think of, a lot of the companies that people think of, you know, they think of Nike and Gap, are really not the biggest offenders. And any more the negative press that they've gotten in the past, that has kind of helped them almost lead the way now to some extent. You know, they're probably not still the best places because they're just so big. It's hard to keep track of everything. You know, most of these companies do not own their own factories. They outsource from another factory. So it's hard to be responsible for other people's employees, but it's kind of moving that direction. The biggest offenders would be places, would be brands that we don't know really. The smaller ones, the one that fly beneath the radar, that no one's ever going to point at XYZ brand because it's so small. And if the news came out and said, "Hey, this place is, you know, workers are being chained to the machines or whatever," it wouldn't really make the headlines. So. You know, it's the lesser brands. The bargain basement discount stuff that you find in Walmart and Dillard's and places like that are still, kind of bottom of the rung as well.
So I'm curious, how was it going undercover and buying some of these products or talking to people that were coming out of these factories? Any close calls we'd enjoy hearing about?
Well, you know, it was kind of interesting. I went undercover as an underwear buyer in Bangladesh, and I was reluctantly undercover. Basically, I had a translator that liked to lie to people. And I would tell them, "Hey, tell them I'm a writer and that I'm here because my underwear were made here," you know, exactly why I was there. And then right before we walk into the meeting or after we had a short introduction, he would say, "Hey, I told him that you were here to buy underwear. a large shipment of underwear. So then I just immediately had to play along with it on the spot. And he's like, you know, if they think you can do business with them, you get to see the factory. If not, you know, you probably wouldn't get to see anything. So thanks to Dalton, my line translator, I went undercover. You know, one of the biggest things that stood out about the whole experience in visiting the factories, other factories I got into not going undercover. You know, I just, Levi's was great to work with. I got a tour of their factory. But it was just the sheer amount of people that make our a single, like, pair of blue jeans. 85 people have a hand in sewing together a single pair.
Wow.
And that doesn't count the fellow who sandblasted. There's a whole room of people, primarily younger women, that sit at powered grinding stones and fray our pockets and fray holes in our jeans to make them look cool. I call them the queens of cool. So this is a way more manual process than I ever thought. You know, I guess I thought there was always a blue jean machine. You press the button, out pop a pair of blue jeans with cool holes in them. But that's not the case. So one of the things I learned, I guess, kind of going undercover or visiting these factories was that it's just so labor-intensive. And which is one of the main reasons that so few clothes are made in the United States anymore as well.
Makes sense. Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth here with our special guest, Kelsey Timmerman, author of a book called Where Am I Wearing? And we've got more with Kelsey here in just a moment. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hot dogs, Armor hot dogs. What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
Welcome back with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show and our special guest out of Muncie, Indiana, the author of a book called Where Am I Wearing? It's Kelsey Timmerman. Kelsey, glad to have you on the show.
Hey, it's great to be on. I'm really enjoying it.
You know, I think a lot of people would be surprised to learn that there are certain countries out there that have gone out of their way to make sure that as a major exporter of goods to the U.S., that they've gone out of their way to regulate this particular industry. Talk a little bit about some of those countries you discovered on your research.
Well, one of the main ones, Cambodia, about 2000, about the beginning of this decade, they had a scare where there were some bad reports and of bad labor conditions, and companies like Nike and Levi's and Gap pulled out of Cambodia. And it really, really scared the country as a whole. The 3/4 of Cambodia's exports are garments. So, you know, if all of a sudden you're in danger of losing that, you know, you need to do something. So they've kind of taken an angle as being the sweat-free provider of garments around the world. And to do that, the International Labor Organization has a very strong presence in Cambodia. When I visited factories, I actually saw on the books I had to sign in inspectors from the ILO that had come to these factories to see how things were going. And they actually have, to inform workers about their rights, they have little comic books written in Khmer. They have DVDs, which I'm not sure if many of the garment workers in Cambodia have DVD players, but, you know, it was pretty amazing to see the unions. They probably too many unions in Cambodia. There's like 300 factories. There's like 800 unions. So, you know, the factory owners can't turn around without, you know, making one of the unions mad. So maybe a little over-unionized. There's still a lot of corruption in Cambodia. But for the most part, it's one of the most regulated in the world. And so they're trying to angle in on that brand. Whether or not the consumer recognizes that, I don't think they do at this point in time.
So, as a reader of your book, what would be the one major takeaway you would want readers to learn from reading your adventures of Where Am I Wearing?
The main thing I try to do is connect with the workers. And, you know, these workers sacrifice a lot to have these jobs. They're often very important to their families. The average worker in Cambodia supports something like 6 or 7 people. You know, the sacrifices they make, they move from far away from their villages to come to the city. In China, they live 2 days travel away from their 13-year-old son they haven't seen in 3 years. Hmm. So these jobs mean an awful lot to these people that have them. And but still, you know, their lives, I would like to see them be better. You know, is it a stepping stone? Is it the first rung of a ladder to a better life? You know, let's hope so.
Well, Kelsey, I think it's pretty cool that you've taken time out of your life to do stuff like this. You know, a lot of people wander around life in the world without really making a difference, but it looks like you put together a real great guide to open some people's eyes and make a difference there. So congratulations on that. Thanks for writing the book. WhereAmIWearing.com is Kelsey's blog. Where Am I Wearing is the book, and we'd like you to check it out. And Kelsey, continued success, and once again, congratulations on being a brand new dad.
Thanks for having me on, fellas.
On the Advertising Show, it's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back in just a minute with more. Stay with us.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little dab.
What a great guy. Make Kelsey Timmerman, our special guest today clean. On The Advertising
Disturbingly
Show. Author of Where Am I Wearing? A global tour of the countries, the factories, and the people that make our clothes what they are. So there we go. Thanks, Kelsey. Hey, next week it's Linda Resnick. Linda is author of a book called Rubies in the Orchard. And we'll find out more about that when we talk to Linda. A lot of good stuff coming your way here in 09 with The Advertising Show. And obviously you're here, so you're enjoying what you're hearing. Thank you for support in 08 and coming back in 09. We appreciate that from the bottom of our hearts. We have the Super Bowl coming up here. Oops, can't say Super Bowl. The big game, whatever they want to call it. And according to Advertising Age, Brad, DreamWorks, Sobey, Intel and NBC are planning 3D Super Bowl ad, what they're doing, which features lizards, monsters, and aliens, basically. Super Bowl advertising, often they say a solitary endeavor. Each ad is in a universe unto itself with nary a difference. Well, this year, DreamWorks Animation, Pepsi's Sobey, are moving in the opposite direction, teaming up with NBC and Intel to create a 3D ad break to set to appear at the end of the second quarter. You know, there was a 3D concert, Brad. Hannah Montana is a hot and very popular star, Miley Cyrus, Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter. And they recently did a special on television where you watched her little special and you could watch it in 3D if you had the proper glasses. And I think that's a great idea. The only thing is they did the promotion with Walmart, and on the day that the stuff was supposed to be available, the 3D glasses, you got them for free, they weren't there. So a lot of people had to come back and get these silly glasses. So I think it's a great idea, but make sure whatever you do, that your supplier is in alignment with what you're trying to do, or something like that. So go ahead.
Please. Well, I was just going to say, you know, I haven't heard about the glasses. I did read about Sobey and the others doing a 3D spot within the Super Bowl, but, you know, where I assume that they're smart enough to have glasses with their logo on it somewhere out at the store level, and, you know, when you buy the product, you get that. I'm wondering how they distribute those 3D glasses to be able to engage with that spot.
I will read a little bit deeper into that article. If I find something, I'll let you know here, okay?
Well, and you know, it's interesting because when you know, that whole concept is not lost on the smart folks at NBC, because they'll be producing a 3D version of Chuck, the TV show that is popular on NBC, not something I particularly watch, but nonetheless a program that NBC has decided to air in a 3D version following the Super Bowl on February 1st, which frankly is a smart move on NBC's part.
Oh, yeah. Well, smart. A lot of smart things happening here. Jean Bliss back with us for the new year, and she's talking about B2B customer loyalty. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
One business-to-business company I know actually does an annual review with their best customers of what they needed and wanted, and what was delivered, and how it was delivered. They do this for several reasons. First, to reinforce the strength and bonds of the relationship, to summarize what they did well, and to promise to do better in things where improvement was required. And third, to work with customers to define their needs for the future. They then use this knowledge to establish a customized touchpoint plan for their most fiercely loyal and profitable customers. There's nothing more important to good customers than asking for their feedback, doing something about it, and then telling them what you did. But most companies don't close the loop. We ask and we ask and we ask with no follow-through. Secure the relationship when you ask about how to improve by actually doing something about it and then marketing that action back to your best and most loyal customers. They'll be glad they stay with a company who cares so much.
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Jean Bliss, on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What is that you're holding there?
Well, you know, Ray, I guess you, like us all, have been reading about all of the various websites, e-commerce websites that are offering, I don't know, paraphernalia on President-elect Obama and the upcoming inauguration, and just, you know, all kinds of little gadgets and things that have President-elect Obama's face on it. Apparently, it's drawing huge crowds across cyberspace, and people are purchasing these various items, goggles with stars and stripes on them, and stars and stripes boxing shorts, and I said boxer shorts, but all kinds of, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. I guess that's a good thing that the public is behind our new president, but it's, I think that I'm reading that not since Kennedy has there been such an interest in buying various specialty items with our upcoming president's face attached to it.
Well, if you noticed, I got you the boxer shorts for Christmas, so that's fine.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Advertising
the size
show
is too small, by the way.
I doubt it. Brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And the Advertising Show also brought to you by Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com. AdvertisingShow.com. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Thanks to Kelsey. Look forward to Linda Resnick, our guest next week, author of Rubies in the Orchard. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.